Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and like every other show, this show is going to be amazing, but it's my Monday show, and I didn't tell my guests what that means, but my viewers, you already know. There are two shows you do not want to be a guest on. That's my Monday show and my Friday show. Mondays, I've had way too much sleep. Friday, I haven't had enough sleep. So only the good Lord knows what I'm going to say today. And I'm rocking my goddess hat for one of my guests to let women know that all women are goddesses. And I guess we got some gods out there as well. But hey, it's still March. We're focusing on the women this month. So before I go ahead and introduce our guest, I'm going to invite you to do what I always invite you to do. And that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. There's someone in your neighborhood, someone in your network, someone in your house, someone somewhere you know that needs this information. Maybe they're a new entrepreneur. Maybe they're a small business owner. Maybe they're just someone who needs help with their personal life, but they will not have this information unless you go ahead and share the show with them. So send that text, send that tweet, make that post, but let them know the Roundtable Talk Show is live, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're going ahead and introducing your friends, your network, your people to the show, I'm going to go ahead and introduce one of my first guest, but also one of my dear friends. We met a year ago when she was a guest on the show. And from that moment, we have been fast friends with a deep respect for what the other does. She's my publicist. She is amazing. Chandra Gore of Chandra Gore Consulting. Integrity and hard work have always been the hallmarks Chandra has used to build successful and profitable businesses through her consulting firm. She has worked with entrepreneurs to help them create foundations for success through her boutique consulting and public relations firm, Chandra Gore Consulting. And if you saw the magazine that came out this week that is taking the internet by storm, Pretty Women Hustle, in my article, it wasn't me. It wasn't me, you guys. It was Chandra. Good morning, Chandra. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here, you know.
I know. I always love that you're here. Like, when you're here, I'm like, that's a guaranteed entertaining show. Like, it's guaranteed. Nobody else, and I know everybody else is amazing. They're wonderful, but you're like my safety blanket. I feel like Linus, and you're my safety blanket.
Oh, because I look forward to, you know, I already planned this for the whole year, so go ahead, you know.
I know. I saw it. I love that. Now, I read your bio, but you tell us, who are you? What do you do, and what are you passionate about?
I am a publicist and consultant, and I'm passionate about helping others to tell and spread the word of their story and, you know, having everyone understand why and how they do what they do. So I'm most passionate about that. Like, that is my biggest thing, because everybody deserves to be heard. And so being able to be the conduit to make that happen is very, very important to me. And, you know, I develop a connection with my clients, and, you know, I just love it. And you have to be a friend sometimes. I have to get to know you before you could be a client anyway. So I love what I do.
I know, but you know, one of the things that impresses me about you is that I always feel like, I know you already have conversations with Chan, but I'm going to get you a new show, right? It's going to be called Chandra Speaks. That's your new show. Because I'm telling you, when Chandra speaks, like, I can make a post and people are like, yeah, that's good. Chandra shares it and all of a sudden it's like, okay, the world take notice. That's a gift. How did you start that? How do you define it? How did you even get into this role?
I'm a truth speaker, I guess, in a way. Like, and I think that's probably what it is, because I'm always myself. I'm never any different. So I think that's what resonates with people the most, because they already know they're going to get the truth and the real and something authentic from me.
Mm-hmm. But that's good though. I love it. And I love what I love about you and your realness and your honesty is that, and I don't say this to everybody and I don't take this lightly. And I also don't feel that this is necessity, but you have your degrees to back up all this experience that you have and this knowledge, and people tend to underestimate you. They think you're just a pretty face and you just cute and you just made it through the world. And then when you start talking about your experience or your knowledge, they're like, oh my God, and are blown away.
It's funny because it's like, I mean, I always let people make that assumption because I love seeing the oh, I like seeing that because, you know, it helps people to step outside of that, you know, those first impressions or whatever they have, whatever thought they have in their head. So I like throwing people for a loop when they figure it out. Like, I'm not just loud and crazy. I'm very smart.
Can I jump in or you have to wait to be introduced?
If you have a question, go right ahead, Tina.
Okay. Hey, Chandra, I just wanted to say that's the smartest thing I think I've heard this morning. Chandra said that her clients, she says most of them kind of have to be a friend before they're a client. Girl, put it on needle pointed. That will cut down on so much of your, you know, of taking somebody into your organization before you really get to know them and really get to know them. Then that's a smart thing to do. You can't always do it, but if you can, you know, if you can have a friend who understands that, you know, this is a business relationship, you know, but you know her or him,
right?
You know, you trust them. That's so smart, Chandra. That's all I wanted to say. That's very smart. That's
okay.
Hey, you know it's important. I wrote it down on the post.
That's what people do. They come on the show, they start taking notes. But since you went ahead and jumped into that hot seat, Tina, what I'm going to do is introduce my next guest, who is eager and excited to join the conversation, Miss Tina Ansa. Tina McElroy Ansa is a novelist, publisher, filmmaker, teacher, and journalist. But above all, she is a storyteller and cultural icon. Tina Ansa is the award-winning author of 5 novels, Baby of the Family, Ugly Ways, The Hand I Fan With, You Know Better, and Taking After Madeir, all of them set in the fictional town of Mulberry, Georgia. Good morning, Tina. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. Good morning. Good morning to everyone on the panel. I'm interested in getting to know everybody.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to get in everybody's business this morning, but tell us about you, Tina. What are you passionate about?
Oh my goodness. I'm passionate about words. I'm passionate about printing. I'm passionate about writing. I'm a writer and a publisher. I started my own publishing company, Small Press, Down South Press in 2007. I published my latest novel in 2008. And in November 2020, if you can believe it, we published, there we go. You see the beautiful cover? We published Meeting at the Table, which is a collection of African-American women. Meeting at the Table, African-American women write on race, culture, and community. And my 50-year girlfriend, my freshman college roommate, not Wanda Smalls Lloyd, who wrote a memoir this last year, 2020, it was published in 2020. And I, you know, good friends, we've known each other for 50 years, and she's a journalist, and she's been a journalist her whole life, and I've been a writer. And after George Floyd's after George Floyd's killing, after Breonna Taylor, you know, 2020 was just, you know, I lost my husband in January of 2020. 2020 was just kick-ass, you know. Everybody's got a 2020 story. And yes. So I called my girlfriend, Wanda. She was just keeping in touch with me because, you know, I was going through grief and all the rest. But I was looking for a purpose, Sharifa. I was looking for a purpose in life because I looked up and thought, okay, Janae's not here. My husband's not here. You know, what am I going to do? So I knew I was going to write and keep publishing what I'd been doing, you know. But I didn't really have a purpose, and it scared me. You know how you look down the road, you know, where you're going, and you don't know exactly where you're going, but you have an idea. I couldn't see where I was going. And so I called Wanda, my friend, on June 12th, 2020. And I said, hey, Wanda, how you doing? And she said, I'm not doing well. She says, I'm angry, I'm depressed, I'm tired, I'm confused. We had all the COVID, we had, you know, the demonstrations in the street oh gosh, we had just murder, see, just killing after killing of Black people, Black bodies. And everybody was just, you know, everybody was having 2020. And Wanda and I said, you know, what can we do? You know, she said, you know, we ain't gonna get out into the streets. We are of a certain age. And we're not gonna get out on the streets, you know, protesting. And so, you know, we were both writers. She had just published her memoir. I had written the foreword to her memoir. We had worked together. And before we got off that phone, Little School Girl, on June 20th, we had come up with an idea. Well, let's do a compilation of essays by Black women. I got a publishing company. I can fast forward it. She had just published a book. We're both editors. And we sat down and just started thinking of the women that we wanted to write. And some, you know, everybody was for us, but everybody couldn't do it. They said they were, they were caregivers, you know, for their parents. They had books to write. They were on deadline. Ava DuVernay said she didn't have enough, bandwidth to do anything, but she said onward. And, you know, that was just like wonderful. Cynthia St. James, you know, the artist who did all of Terry McMillan's work. We asked her to do an essay and she said, I can't do it, I'm on deadline. She said, but I tell you what, I'll send you two images and you can pick from those and you can have them for the cover of your book.
Wow, so, I mean, congratulations.
It all came together and we had books. We started on June. We had books in our hands on November 30th.
Wow, I am impressed, amazed. 5 months later, that is a skill. That is wonderful, Tina. I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, the incredible Miss Lisa Marie Bast. Lisa Marie started a business affair after the age of 50. She created the Wolfpack. She created the Wolfpack dog walking accessory bag, which is made in the U.S. to offer pet parents a more enjoyable on-the-go experience with their pets and to encourage pet owners to scoop the poop to keep trails and parks clean. Good morning, Lisa Marie. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Wow. Scoop the poop. Tell us
about it. Yeah, this is the Wolfpack.
Oh, wow.
It actually comes in five color combinations, including two designs. The middle part of it has an antimicrobial lining it it's medical grade. They use it in hospitals on gurneys. So it's actually treated, it's antimicrobial. So when you scoop the poop and you bag it, you just stick it in there and you don't have to carry it. It also encourages pet parents to pick up after themselves when they're on the trails, in the parks, in the neighborhood. You know, I don't think most people know that poop, doggy poop, is actually bad for the environment. It's got a lot of bacteria and parasites in it, and it also pollutes our waterways, our streams. So, you know, we want people to pick them up. And I think it's really burdensome and unpleasant for pet parents to have to carry that stinky bags of poop whenever they walk their pets. So this actually solves that problem. It also has separate pockets for all the other stuff you take with you. I put, you know, lipstick in there. I put my disposable water dish. Obviously I'm a pet lover. Treats, extra bags, Kleenex, things like that. So, yeah. Okay.
So you mentioned in your bio that you started this business after 50.
Yes.
It inspired you. You wanted to make a difference in the world. So what were you doing when you came up with this idea?
What was
your career is my question.
My career? I have a degree in communications and I worked in public relations and communications in healthcare industries and with PR firms. Yeah. So, but I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my dad was a successful entrepreneur. Unfortunately, he, you know, I loved him dearly, but he didn't really see women as entrepreneurs. So, you know, really when before he passed away, he turned his thriving business over to my brother who now runs it. So I thought to myself, okay, I'm never going to be part of it. So what do I do for myself? You know? And a lot of people were saying, well, you know, you're too old to start a business. You're a woman. It's too hard, blah, blah, blah. So that just lit a fire under me because I wanted women to know that no matter what age you are, you can be successful. You can start a business. You know, I want women to realize their potential. And so I wanted to, now I mentor college. I have two interns I mentor that work for me, and I try to give them that empowerment. It doesn't matter where you come from, what your gender is, you can succeed. And so I really want them to give them the tools to help them succeed when they graduate. So
did you quit your day job? Were you in between jobs when you started this?
No, actually I was working as a freelance PR person, and I also did substitute teaching too. So I was trying to start this while working like 40 hours a week, which was really tough. Yeah.
How long did it take before you found some type of what you consider success with the new business?
It's an uphill battle. It's very tough. I think this year is when it started taking off. I was just recently in Women's World magazine, so that really helped.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. Modern Dog magazine at Christmas time. So I'm starting to see international sales grow too, which is really kind of cool. A lot of customers from Canada placing orders.
Well, that's good. I hope more people in California, in my neighborhood and around here, place some orders, because that, to me, is something that is necessary. I hate to walk down the street and see things that just left there. So you are providing a service that I believe is much needed. Now, Lisa Marie, I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce my next guest, which are a couple. They're here with us today, Lamar and Ronnie Tyler. Lamar is the creator and co-founder of the International Business Network, Traffic Sales and Profit, TSP, a premier community for purpose-driven African-American entrepreneurs that provide solutions to drive more website traffic, convert more online sales, and increase business profit, along with his wife, Ronnie Tyler, who is recognizing the need for positive images of Black marriage in the media. Ronnie founded Black and Married with Kids.com, BMW, in 2007, along with Lamar. Over the last 13 years, she has grown the site from a personal blog shared by one couple to an international brand with over 600,000 social media fans. Good morning to the Tylers. How are you?
Good. Thanks for asking.
Tell us about, okay, I love when I have couples on the show, because I always find, and I have learned, it's not a sexist thing, but one is the talker and it's not always the woman. So who's the talk? Okay, see.
So not true.
I'm telling you, I used to assume, right? You'd be like, okay, he's quiet, she talks. So Lamar, I kind of believe, based on the quickness of Ronnie's point, that it's you. So tell us about who you guys are, what you do, what you're passionate about.
Yeah, in a nutshell, we run several online brands that focus on uplifting, encouraging, supporting the African-American community. The first of which, Black and Married with Kids, as you mentioned, we launched in December 2007 to promote positive images of marriage. In our communities, right? We said, hey, there have to be other couples that love each other, that are supporting each other. We knew there were fathers in the home, not just taking care of their kids, but oftentimes taking care of other people's kids as well. But we never saw that represented in the media. We never saw it in the press. We never saw it in films and television and things like that. So we made our own platform to showcase that. And as that quickly grew and blew up, and we had like a ton of press features and a ton of audience and social media following, right? Then we started creating products and documentaries and things like that. People begin to ask us, how did you do it? Like, how did you build that online? How did you build those communities and audience? And that's when we launched Traffic, Sales, and Profit as a way to kind of teach people the things we had learned over the years of building audience, of attracting people to us, of building online communities, and then being able to convert those people from just leads or fans and followers into actual customers.
Wow, that's impressive. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. Ronnie, what was your initial thought about starting this with your husband?
There was a lot of thoughts. yeah, because, you know, when Lamar and I, when we met, I was corporate America, okay? Like, I was IBM for pretty much 17 years before he convinced me.
One job. She only worked one place her whole life.
I wish.
I think she was waiting for a gold watch with diamonds in the middle of something.
And it wasn't coming.
That probably won't happen.
25-year anniversary. But anyway, and so that's a whole topic or conversation in and of itself, like just working with your spouse and getting one spouse be, having that entrepreneurial mindset and the other one corporate and having that vision and getting on the same page with that, because we definitely have some tips about that. But
we're going to talk about that. We might have to do a whole nother show to talk about that. But it is a real thing. I mean, we're laughing, we're smiling, and we're joking, but it is really serious. Take it from somebody who has been divorced twice. And when people ask me what went wrong, I usually tend to say it really came down to the difference between, because both of my husband, one of my husband works, my ex-husband works for Los Angeles Unified School District. My first husband, my kid's father, he's been at his job, my daughter's 27, for 25 years, you know? So it was always this battle. So I can completely relate. So what happened to close the doors after 17 years? Did you just make this jump into entrepreneurship, or did something happen?
No jumps, but I mean, we were very intentional about like phasing into entrepreneurship. First, Lamar left his corporate job and so that we could grow the business. We had to definitely see some consistent revenue, like Lamar calls it CPR, consistent predictable revenue. In the business. But once we started seeing that, then he left his job and he was working it for a while. And then I came over from my position as well. So that's how it pretty much worked. But when he brought the idea, first we started off as bloggers with Black and Mirror Kids. When he brought the idea to me, I thought it was a great idea. And we picked the topic of supporting and uplifting relationships, number one, because it was something that we both could be passionate about, right? Because since we're going to be partners in the business. And number two, we just wanted, there was just a lot of negativity as it involved marriages and relationships in the African-American community, especially back then, and our divorce rates were the highest. And it's just like a whole big thing in the media. You just never seen the positive images of people in our communities. And so we wanted people to see that and to aspire to that. But it was definitely a journey as far as like me getting on board with full-time entrepreneurship, even entrepreneurship in itself. Lamar was a career contractor and entrepreneur when he met me, and I almost made him just get a job. That's why he was at Fox when we married, because I just didn't understand and I needed that consistency. And so he sat back and he was just like biding his time and showing me some things. But within 5 years, he had left that job and back being a full-time entrepreneur. And they eventually convinced me to do it as well.
Well, what I love is that what appears to me is that you guys show each other what you want and what you believe in. And then you ask for what you need from your partner and then you wait for it. Because it seems like Lamar was like, I really want you to do this with me, but you have to do it in your way, which you did. And then Ronnie's like, I really want to do this with you, but I have to be secure and do this in my way. And so after you both did it in your way, it was accomplished. So I think that's amazing. I think you guys are great. You need your own show. But I'm going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce my next guest. And she is incredible. We got a couple of Lisas on the show today, but we're going to be talking to Lisa Von Hotel. Okay, thank you, Lisa. I usually go over the names prior to the show because I sound more intelligent after introductions, but today I just got excited and was talking. Mm-hmm. So forgive me for that. But Lisa is a dedicated agent with effective strategies and superior services, offering clients guidance for a stress-free experience. Her innovative approach is twofold. She will handle everything from educating her clients on current market conditions, marketing properties for sellers, locating properties for buyers, and negotiating contracts that are statistically proven to favor the client. She works diligently to keep the transaction on track with town officials, attorneys, lenders, and the client. Good morning, Lisa. How are you?
Good morning. How are you today? Thank you for having me.
I love your background. It looks so prestigious, so executive. It just makes me want to just go there.
Yeah, I'm not too tech savvy. I'm getting there. So I was very excited when I got that to work.
You are doing just fine, Miss Lisa. Tell us about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? What are you passionate about?
Who am I? I'm a realtor with Coldwell Banker Realty here in the Closter Alpine, New Jersey office. Which, if you are not familiar with New Jersey, Alpine is like the Beverly Hills of New Jersey. We're about 15 minutes outside of New York City. So we're in the suburbs of New York. A little bit about my background. I was a licensed cosmetologist. I love people. So I was in the cosmetology industry for about 10 years. And once I was pregnant with my second child, who she's now 17, I says, who's going to watch my kids while I'm working in the salon? So I left and I ended up getting my real estate license. And I wish I would have done that 20 years ago. I absolutely love it. I am a true Gemini. I dabble in this and that, and I love people. I can't sit behind a desk. I have to be out there, and it's something new every day. So this is my 10th year now. I've always been with the same Coldwell Banker office. I actually started when my son was 2, and I really said, this is what I can do to make my schedule around my family schedules. And that's exactly what I do. My kids are now, I'm married actually 23 years, and my girls are 20, 17, and then my son is 12. So like I said, I just love helping people make that move. You know, sometimes it's, hey, it's a first time home buyer. Sometimes it's an estate and you have to help the family unload the house for them. Sometimes it's, you know, someone who's been renting forever and you now are gonna, you know, buy that first home. So there's all different scenarios, but no matter what it is, I just love what I do.
It seems, and it shows. Now, Lisa, one of the things that you mentioned is you wish you would have done it sooner. What are some, why sooner?
I grew up, I also wait, like I said, I do a little bit of everything. I grew up in the restaurant business. My dad had a diner. I also waitress 2 nights a week still. He had retired, but in town, there's a local restaurant here because I just love getting out and being in the community and being out there. And my husband's a contractor and I manage his business. So yours truly, I love working. 7 days a week, I'm here or there. And why I wish sooner is because of the fact, actually, because of the family aspect of I can make my schedule around anything. If someone's sick, I'll just change an appointment, or I have plenty of colleagues that will go out for me and show a property, or I had someone do a walkthrough for me before closing if I you know, I couldn't make it. But also the fact that there's unlimited income. Mm-hmm. You put in as much as you want to get out of it. If you don't want to work, you don't make any money, but sky's the limit. There's no cap. So that also was a big attraction to me as well.
Now, when I have guests who are in real estate or in the industry, I like to find out about what they've seen over the last year. I've spoken to so many of them who said, you know what? We're sorry to hear about the loss and the death, but the blessing in it for them was that they were able to show more homes virtually. And many of them over the past year have seen their businesses skyrocket because instead of going to a location, going to a physical location, waiting for this person, now you got to wait for that person. They just did it all on Zoom and were able to show more homes. What have you seen over the last year or noticed?
It was my busiest year yet. Mm-hmm. Once COVID hit, by March, because January, February starts to get busy. Normally, sellers will get more money because everyone thinks, oh, I have to wait for the spring market to list my home, which the spring market actually starts February. It's not April. You want to get on before everybody else. Therefore, people are getting more money. But once March hit and the lockdowns happen, I says, oh my gosh, now what are we going to do? So like anything, you know, technology is always changing. So we had to adapt. So in New Jersey, we're still kind of locked down, sort of. The influx from New York City is unbelievable because New York, they still can't, and I don't, maybe just recently can do an open house. Like they can't do nothing. New Jersey, in the beginning, we were locked down. Once they lightened the restrictions after a few months, it was, you know, 2 people to a group. We wear masks to go in. I always have in my car, I have the booties, I've got the sanitizer, wipes, and a box of masks in case anyone doesn't have one, but I haven't come across that yet. We also have adapted, like you said, Zoom, FaceTime, we do that. Honestly, I have not done a lot. People are coming out. It was really only a good month and a half or so where people would do that. And even before, we actually sold a home via FaceTime from somebody across the world that never even stepped foot on the property. But right now, open houses are going well. Every price range from a co-op to multi-million dollar house, there's bidding wars, all price ranges, not enough on the market. I just put an offer in yesterday. There's 9 offers the first day on the market. And, you know, you just have to explain it and you have to go over with your buyers what to expect. It's not the way it was. And just because COVID hit, you're not going to get a deal. It's going above asking. And then you just have to see what happens.
Mm-hmm. So I'm in California. In California, we were completely locked down. So I asked certain questions and other people in other parts of the country, no offense to Florida, but especially my Florida guests, they're like, no, our world, that has not been our experience. Everything's opened up. I'm like, kind of jealous, but that's okay.
Yeah. Well, it's not that everything's opened up here. I mean, even in, like in the restaurant I work in, I don't even know. I don't pay attention anymore because even if they say it's 50% capacity, people don't realize they still want you 6 feet apart. It doesn't matter if it's 100%, but if you're still 6 feet, the same amount of tables are in the restaurant.
Right.
So businesses are you know, with that, you know, in that sense. But in terms of the housing market, we just obey by, you know, just if it's a family, we let that family in. When we're doing an open house, I always do it with a partner. So one will have someone upstairs, one will have someone downstairs, and we switch so you're not crossing paths. And then once they leave, I, you know, I squirt their hands when they come in with sanitizer as well as when they leave. So yes, we all just do our best.
We all do our best. That's what we do here and what we all have been doing for the last year, our best. Now, I want to go over to Lamar real quick. I was listening to Tina and she was talking about her books, and all her books seem like they would be right up your alley. What would you advise her, or what would be your thoughts on ways that she would further be able to get her book series out there?
Well, actually, first of all, when she was mentioning, as soon as she mentioned came on, Ronnie was like, I got her books. So Ronnie, I don't, Ronnie might have some ideas. Just Ronnie,
oh, well, let me go to Ronnie books. Then. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I mean, as far as like getting her books out there, a couple of things that we did, because, you know, Lamar and I, we do movies too. We have 7 documentary films, and we never read it for anyone else to like publish us or to promote for us. We just like kind of focused on marketing our films and our movies ourselves and building audience. So number one, yeah, I'm reading one of her books for the second time now. I think the Hand I Fan With or whatever, that one. Yes, so I'm reading that for
Wait. Have you read it to Lamar?
I have not read it to Lamar.
She's slipping.
Yes, there are certain parts.
I have actually gotten flowers from her husband. I swear I have.
Oh, no, she is holding out.
We'll exchange. We'll have our emails. I'll give you this. But when I give it to special people like you, my book, when I sign it, they're chapters. It's the only book I've written with chapters, so you can go to the good parts. So I go and I check the chapters that men love to have their women read. I've had men say to me, I never heard those words come out of my wife's mouth ever.
Okay, hold on. I feel like we had a party that I was not invited to. Even when I was reading the bio, that's the one that stood out to me. I was like, what is the hand that I think? What is that?
It's a real sexy book. It's a long book. Because people said they didn't want it to end. It's a story of Lena McPherson, who's the main character in my first book, Baby of the Family. And she's grown, and she has lots of stuff, physical stuff, you know. She has lots of land and a beautiful house and la-di-da and la-di-da. She has all these, you know, fancy clothes and everything, but her family has all died. She doesn't have anybody. She's the hand the whole town fans with. You know that expression? The hand I fan with? You know, somebody will say, oh, you know, somebody else's, gumbo is better than yours. And you'll say, oh, shoot, you know, what you're talking about? That she's the hand I fan with. That's the person who, you go to. That's the one you brag on. That's the one who always has a little piece of change for you. You say, she's the hand I fan with.
Well, no, that's good that you brought that up, because that was not, from just hearing it, that was not my understanding. One of the things I love Southern. Oh, I mean, I like your definition. I just want to be on the same page, because I love Southern women. Like, Southern women to me know how to say F you in just the most polite way. And they usually do it like, oh my.
I have a chapter. Ronnie, tell them, I have a chapter in The Hand I Fan With called F you. Mm-hmm. You remember that part? Yeah, it's a whole chapter. It's a very sexy book. It's about a woman who doesn't have any love in her life. She has lots of things, and she and her girlfriend get together. You know how you get together and drink a little wine or smoke, and you know, you get start doing crazy things that you wouldn't do. And they go out on her beautiful deck and they do this ceremony because she was born with a pall or a veil over her face, and she's supposed to be able to see ghosts. Anybody know that? A veil or a call?
Yes. I'm from the South. Go ahead.
There you go, Shonda. Thank you. There's my girl. And you're supposed to be able to see ghosts, tell the future, look at somebody and read you. But the biggest thing is that you're connected to the supernatural, the ghost.
Wow.
So they get out there and Sister says to Lena, girl, you know all that stuff you used to be able to do and tell people's dreams and stuff. We'll be able to, you know, call you up a man. And so they're drunk, you know, they're a little
stuff. Oh, you can conjure up men? Oh, that's what I need. If I read the book, can I do that too? Can I conjure up a man?
Well, like you read the book and then you will.
Good answer. Good answer, Tina.
This 100-year-old ghost appears who's been watching her for 100 years.
Herman. Can't give it all away. We got to get the people to, they going to buy this book today because it seems good. It seems juicy.
But Ronnie, I'm serious about men love to have this book. I'm telling you, I've had men send me flowers to say thank you.
Yeah,
Ronnie?
Actually, so I know what chapter when she's like driving and she had to pull over because I'll read that to him anyway.
Put the link in the chat.
You okay then? That's my girl.
Put the link in the chat.
So go back to your question about like just what could she do to get the books out there. I would definitely say the biggest thing that we did. And it was really important from movie to movie to movie is build an audience, right? Mm-hmm. Because we noticed from our first DVD to our first movie to our second movie, you know, people would ask us, hey, like, when's your second movie coming out? I didn't know it and things like that. And so we built a consistent audience around our movement versus around just one particular movie. And that audience was able to kind of follow with us and grow with us across, you know, all of our movies. So building an audience, building an email list, and being able to kind of promote that as well. Another thing that helps a lot is, of
Ronnie, course. Ronnie, can I ask you a question? Our biggest challenge is getting the book out there. You know, I guess that's the way it is with the movie, letting people know about it. And we know we're on all platforms, but what are some things, I don't know, I guess I'm asking the things that you can do. We're doing like all the things that you read about. But
are you on different social media platforms?
I'm on
Instagram and I hate to say, TikTok. TikTok is a big thing for education, and it's a lot of, not all young kids anymore. It's a lot for education and stuff.
Well, we have 16 contributors, and so we are able to do events. We've been doing, you know, lots of events. We have a launch, but it seems a little, I don't want to say this, but it seems we're a little slow in the water right now.
Right.
We're not, okay, but this is what I'm saying. This is only the second time in over 200 episodes that this has happened. The first time I had a young lady who made homemade items and she was on her items were on QVC, and one of the other guests had actually seen her on QVC. So we're talking about getting Tina's books out there, and yet somehow it got to Ronnie, and Ronnie's been reading this book twice. So whatever you're doing, it is working. We just have to, you know, amplify it, and this show will help. So I want to go over to Chandra.
Ronnie read the old book. This is the new one. But don't worry, Ronnie and Lamar. I'll be looking y'all up, okay?
Well, can Lamar answer her question?
Yes.
Yeah. I was going to say, too, Ronnie's on, right? So one of the things is we have to be very intentional about capturing customer data, right? Which is hard in traditional measures, because traditional measures, if the books or movies or whatever you got go out to bookstores, you don't really know who buys them. You know what I mean? Like you don't know, or even if you sell through Amazon, you don't know who the customer is on the other end. So now any book, any film, anything we do has to have pieces in it, right? Some type of prompt to push them back to our website to opt into, and it could be opting in is like your name and email address or whatever, and it could be opting into some additional chapters, maybe a behind the scenes interview with the authors, right? Or some type of added value that'll make them, if they're reading through, stop and say, or maybe it's just hearing, you know, Tina, some of the other contributors in their own voice read the words. Okay. But it's something as they're going through the book, they stop and they see that prompt inside the book and say, ooh, I want that. They go to the website, enter their information, because then, like Ronnie mentioned, as you know, each additional book launch, you relaunch and republish old books, It gives you the ability to go back to those customers, right? The people that are most likely to buy or the people that already bought the previous books, instead of traditionally what normally happens is it feels like you got to start every project from ground zero and try to find people over and over again. Whereas if you got the list of them, you can kind of go back and say, hey, you know what, let me start with people that already have it. And as you introduce new titles and get new people in, you can let them know about the old titles that a lot of times they're not even aware. You know, when they read something, they think, oh, this is great. They don't even realize that you got this big catalog behind you already that, you know, of course will lead to increased sales too. So that capture the customer data piece is huge.
Absolutely, it's wonderful advice. Thank you for that.
That is great.
That is definitely great. I want to go over to Chandra real quick. Chandra, I got a problem. I need you to solve my problem. Okay. I live in Long Beach, right by the beach. I walk around here all the time and I see poop. I see the poop everywhere. How are we going to help Lisa Marie save the world?
So I did inbox her. I did send her a private chat because I think that she could actually leverage the days of the year that have, you know, environmental days that could elevate and get the reach that she needs. And I do think by, you know, scheduling your post around those things or making posts, even blogging on your website about why it's an environmental hazard, but also tie it into another lesson learned and how, to appeal to fur baby owners. So that's a good way to do it. And then, I'm sorry, I got to segue to Tina real quick. She wants to get the book out there more. There are so many different outlets right now who are talking to authors. So you could get really good reach by doing Instagram lives with these outlets who are looking to feature authors and stuff like that. I'm going to jump back to Lisa B. But I do think that if you could, even if you have guest bloggers who submit based on, you get five people to submit why, you know, how they pick up their poop or what reminds them to pick up the poop, that's a great post because you're engaging the audience and engaging people to pay attention, you know, to talk about things, but you're also kind of drawing them in to be a part of your brand. So
yeah, actually April 1st through 7th is Scoop the Poop Week.
I didn't even know that. I had no idea.
And we just had National Puppy Day, but you can even do some quick videos on your phone. Go out and demonstrate and just do a little testimonial with people that have it and then start posting them as well.
Because even though we're in a pandemic right now, people still want that personal, we want to talk to people. We still want to interact with people. So I love the fact that, because I have a pet, a client who has pet products. And so, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's a great thing because you want to reward your fur baby once they do what they're supposed to do outside. So it's like, when you said you had a space for treats, I was like, oh, I got to talk to you because, you know, what's better than a fashionable, you know, you want to look good while you're walking your dog, but you also want to do your part too. So it's a very good combination. So I'm excited. I love that, you know.
How much is the bag? How much does the bag cost?
The bag itself costs $29.97.
That's it.
That's cheap. I thought it was higher.
It's made at a small family-owned business outside of Chicago. So, and they do a great job. It's got, like I said, it's got different pockets for all the stuff that you take in the back. So my customers tell me that. What's that?
I'm getting one for Wanda. I'm getting one for my friend, and for Bella.
Yeah. Unlike other poop bag holders, they usually just hold the bag waist, but this one has different pockets for all the other stuff, so you have everything in one place. So that makes it more convenient. You don't want to stuff things in your pockets and just put the bag poop in one little thing that most are on the market. So I wanted something that was like a carry-all, but I also wanted to, you know, educate people on how important it is to pick up that waste on the trails in the neighborhoods. Don't just, you know, I see people in my neighborhood, they bag it and they leave the plastic laying on the ground. Right. And that's even worse.
That's crazy.
Right. I know. Yeah. And so, so if you don't have to carry it, then you're most likely going to pick up after your pet.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you up. Go ahead.
Please no, don't. And I just, I have this Google alert for poop waste problems, and I've partnered with a Skagit Conservation. They have the Poop Fairy campaign going on up there in Washington, the state of Washington. So they just purchased 15 bags to reward people for picking up after their pets on the trails and, you know,
wait, in the parks. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. That's their dog. But they are rewarding someone for doing Kendra, what they're supposed to do.
Lisa's getting sales for it. Okay, that's what matters.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Don't. We don't be. We gonna reward everybody as long as Lisa gets the sale. Are you doing anything for Earth Day, Lisa?
Yeah, I want to do something for Earth Day. I've asked my two interns to brainstorm what I could do for Earth Day, but I think it might be kind of cool to do some videos of going out on the trails and picking up. You know, I do that sometimes. I walk on the trails and I see it, I'll pick it up, you know, and throw it away. So
where are you located?
Northeast Ohio.
I also, because I'm a member of my local Rotary and Women's Club, and we always do things for the community. Maybe talk to the Rotary because they're all about doing town cleanups and stuff like that.
That's a good idea.
The Rotary clubs by you, and also check, because I know by me, every September they have like the town days and stuff, and sometimes you can have a table there, and it's just about getting it out. So right. We have some flyers and, you know, people in the community, but between the Rotary, because we always go out in the towns and we do like, you know, cleanups for the garbage and stuff for the communities. So that may be something to reach out and wherever you are.
And it's a great idea.
And then another thing, I'm not an intern, but I do have some kind of good ideas. I just put a link in the chat for everyone, but you specifically, there is an Earth Day celebration. It's a virtual expo. The lady who's putting it on, Vivian Ajuelo, has Art Tour International magazine. And through her magazine and her actual TV show, she has about 10 million viewers. And she's looking for panelists. And so one of the great ways to get products out there is to be a speaker, to talk about the earth, you know, talk about ways that, like, because one of the first things you mentioned is how the dog poop affects the earth. And this is the sale, the product is a byproduct of the conversation. So that may be a good fit for you. If anyone else is interested in see an Earth Day fit, she's also looking for panelists. Now, I want to go over to Lisa. You gave some great ideas and suggestions for Tina and for Lisa Marie. How do you use social media and marketing to get your business out there?
I love doing Facebook Lives. You know, whenever I do an open house or I'm out doing something, I'll quickly get on, and people, you know, a lot of agents in my office get intimidated. I said, listen, this isn't a professional, you're just going to go out and do it. People want to see you live. You know, with your hair in a ponytail, whatever, getting coffee in the morning. They want to see what you do during the day, because people think real estate agents just open a door and you're done. They have no clue what we have to do on a daily basis. So I just try to do Facebook Lives. I have a business page as well as my personal page. I also started a Facebook group called Northern Valley Vibes, because the seven towns where I live are located in the Northern Valley School District. And when people are looking in one town, they usually will stick within the seven towns, and every town has their own Facebook group, but I wanted something where you can go to one group and see what's going on for all seven towns. So I started doing business owner interviews, especially now during the pandemic. And there's videos on there for a local restaurant, a beauty salon. I did a deli. So we put it on the Facebook pages, and then I can tag them and share it for the community, you know, to go over local businesses, because they're the ones through the brunt of this who have been shut down. I'm on TikTok, I'm on Instagram, I'm on YouTube, I'm on LinkedIn and Facebook. I just try to, you know, do a little bit here and there and repurpose my content. So when I put the video out, there's a blog post. And then, like I said, I'll do snippets here and there. And especially with TikTok, I got like 70,000 views on, I got like 70,000 views when I filmed an oil tank that got taken out of the ground at one of my listings. So I just try to educate people. I also have on my website a link called Lisa's List. And what I have on my list is everything from contractors, electricians, handymen, locksmiths, you name it. because my, you know, what I'm known for is Ask Lisa. So if you need any of the information, ask me. And it's not only through, you know, working through a closing, it's for me being there for the community afterwards and providing.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. So now I know what everybody's been wondering for an hour. One of the questions that they have is, Ronnie, how did you get over 500,000 followers?
Yeah, a lot of it just was remaining consistent. And, you know, sometimes it's about the time and the place, right? Because when we started our Facebook group or our Facebook page, Facebook was wide open. So like if somebody liked it, then somebody else would like it and their friends would like it and everybody would come in. And, you know, eventually Facebook shut all of that down and you have to actually be consistent with doing things to build audience. And so it's more about being consistent, more about getting content out there and probably doing paid ads now. So the approach that we took when we started is a little bit different from what we would do now to build the audience, just because of the algorithms and things with Facebook is so different. And so I would just recommend that people, number one, remain consistent with the content and being able to kind of get content out there in various forms, whether it's video, you know, blog post or whatever, but just kind of being consistent with that. And then number two, definitely knowing their audience and who they're talking to. And then number three, having some kind of paid aspect to that for marketing. So, you know, people always only think about their list and their audience when they're ready to launch something new. Whereas we, you know, we share with people, you should be having some type of strategy for list building and launch building all year round, so that they're there and ready for you when you're ready to launch. And I think that's the biggest mistake that small business owners make, is that they wait until they're ready to launch and they're like, now who am I gonna launch to? You
right. know?
And so no, you wanna have that as a part of your strategy all year round, as far as like talking to your audience and nurturing and being consistent with them so that they're there. And then also you can take that audience and be able to build other audiences and get out to other people outside of that. But first of all, kind of focus on your list and your audience all year round, not when you're ready to launch yourself.
Absolutely. I think that's wonderful advice. Now we are coming down to the end of the show. And this is part of my favorite part of the show, where everybody gets to give their 30-second commercial about themselves and who they are. So I just invite you to speak directly to our audience, to everyone who was watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Lisa Marie.
Hi. Well, I just want to know that I developed the Wolf Pack to give pet parents a more enjoyable experience when on the go with their pets, and to encourage all pet owners to pick up, scoop the poop when they're, you know, out on the trails, in the neighborhoods, in the parks. And I just want them to enjoy life with pets. They're amazing creatures. So the Wolf Pack does allow them to do that. It makes great gifts. A lot of people buy them for gifts. So I think that's really, and I think also just no matter what your age, your background, your race, go for your dreams. Believe in yourself. It's a lot of hard work, but find a support system like this amazing group here. And I just want to applaud everybody for their successes. And I want to wish you the very best and continued success. And that's kind of what I want to say. Go for your dreams and think about the Wolf Pack as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Where can people pick up the Wolf Pack?
Wolfpacktrails.com. That's W-O-O-F Trails, T-R-A-I-L-S.com. And for my viewers today, I want to offer 10% off the Wolf Pack. You just put in the code TAKE10 for 10% off.
I like that. I love discounts. Thank you, Lisa Marie. Now, Lisa B.
Thank you for having me. I can be a useful resource anywhere across the country, because with Coldwell Banker, I have agents that I work with closely throughout the 50 states. So if you're looking to buy, sell, rent, or invest, you can contact me. I'm at lisabonatel.net. That's LISABONHOTAL.net. I'm also on Facebook, which is same thing, Lisa Bonatel Realtor. Instagram, my name is Lisa Bonatel, YouTube as well as TikTok. And you can contact me. And if it's not in New Jersey, I can put you in touch with someone, like I said, all across the country to help you with your next move.
Yeah. You got some money in California, Long Beach?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I'm going to keep that in mind when I move. I just have to stay in District 33, though, for my Senate run. But I'm sure we can find someone here.
I got plenty of people out there.
Thank you. Tina, what do you have for us?
My passion is words. My passion is women. My passion is talking to the heart of people. And I think that's what books do. I would like, my website is tinamapleryanza.com, but you can pick up the book. And if you'd like a signed copy, you let us know at downsouthpress.com. I am indeed happy to be here. I have learned so much on this panel. I had no idea that I would. I'm glad I have my post-its by. But the name of the book is Meeting at the Table, African-American Women Write on Race, Culture, and Community. We have the Atlanta mayor wrote an essay. Alul princess, Anika Noni Rose wrote an essay. She, you know, she's the Disney princess. So we have women talking deeply about themselves. And that's what I feel real very, very passionate about. And that's women. And I want to say to Lisa, who was just here before me, what a sweet thing to say to all of us. And that I'm going to be getting, two of them. And that I started two businesses over the age of 50, Lisa. So you're in good company. I started a publishing company and my Sea Island Writers Retreats. You can go on my website and find out all about them. But again, I'm glad you invited me. It's wonderful to be here. I feel like I've made some connections and I want to talk to these people again. And your show was great. Thank you.
Thank you. I need to come hang out with you. When you haven't named any small little nothing. Okay, let me take that back before I get all the comments. Everybody you named is like out there. You're like, I called Ava and I called Noni and I'm like, I'm come hang out with you so we can make some phone calls.
It's social media. My co-editor Wanda, she wrote long, wonderful letters asking my essays. I hit mine up on Facebook, on Instagram, and on Twitter. You know, that's how I talk to Ava. You know, she doesn't really know me. She knows my work, and I admire her work. And I was able to reach out to her, and she was kind enough to respond. But you know, that's the other thing. Ask for what you want. You don't know what people are going to say. Ask
somebody learn something just from that response. Ask,
and that's especially for women. We're taught to take for what we're given. But we need to ask for what we want.
Ash, that's right. So I'm about to go tweet Michelle Obama and be like, Michelle, let's sit down because I want to talk to you.
Jelly girl, come right, hit me up. Absolutely.
Thank you, Tina. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
Lamar, what do you have for us?
For everybody watching, right, some of the stuff me and Ronnie talked about, the principles, just like really scratched the surface. So what we want to do is I have a free paperback copy of my latest book that we want to give out, right? So we'll cover the book if any of the viewers, they just cover shipping and handling. To get a hold of it, they can go to www.freetspbook.com, like traffic, sales, profit, freetspbook.com. You'll get a free paperback copy of my latest book, Traffic, Sales, and Profit, Ultimate Step-by-Step Guide to Creating Consistent, Predictable Revenue Online. And it talks about how to get traffic, how to get more visitors, how do you convert those visitors once they get to your website? How can you not just get new people, but increase the amount of money that the people you have spend when they actually spend it with you? So, you know, it's a great resource. People love it. And I want everybody watching to make sure you grab the copy.
Oh, that's so special. You sending me a free birthday present. That is so wonderful. Thank you. That is, you guys, you're just
everything's about the birthday, girl.
I'll be fine by April. Excuse me. Ronnie, what do you have for us?
I think that's the main thing. And also, if you'd like to, you can definitely join our Facebook group, which is Traffic, Sales, and Profit with Lamar Tyler. That's where you'll learn about all of our events. Like, I even have a book coming out in June. We did tell you that I worked for IBM for almost 20 years. We didn't tell you that I was a project manager for IBM for almost 20 years, a certified project manager. And so when I became an entrepreneur, I was like, all entrepreneurs are project managers, and you just don't know it, right? So I teach project management to our clients and to other entrepreneurs. And so I have written a book on how to launch and be more profitable and double your profits just through being intentional about planning. And so that'll come out in June, but you'll learn all about everything that we do in our Facebook group, Traffic, Sales, and Profit with Lamar Tyler. So that's what I would say.
Thank you. We're going to definitely have to check it out. I appreciate you, Miss Chandra. What did you think of today's show?
It was great because I'm learning, like, so I used to be a project manager as well. Like, that was my thing. Like, planning is key to success, because if you don't plan, you won't be successful. If you don't pay attention to the trends, and if you don't lay the train tracks, your train will not run. So there it is. So I love the show. This was great. I really don't have a commercial, but you
make
all
one up, girl. You good? You want me to do your commercial for you? If you need to get your business out there, if you need the media to take notice, if you want all your friends to text you because they just saw you on a new podcast, contact Chandra Gore Consulting. How was that?
That was perfect. Only you. Only you. But yes, I just want to say, give a shout out, because I finally got the Cosmopolitan placement that I worked on for my client. So I'm like,
I saw it.
I'm sorry, y'all. This is amazing. I love what I do, but y'all have amazing businesses, and definitely I'm reaching out to get the book, because my other client, who is an accountant, I think that it will be a great thing to add to her reading list as well. So I'll be reaching out for that. And you all are amazing. This was a great panel today.
Yes, I love it. I love it. I love it. It was a lot of fun. I love what I do. This has been an amazing month. Oh my God, I tell you. So I just want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. But I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. I appreciate you watching the show. I appreciate you sharing the show. But as always, please support our guests. Visit their websites. Pick up a couple of bags. Order a couple. I'm off today, Monday. Order a couple of Tina's books. Join Lamar's Facebook. I feel like I'm hooked on phonics now. Join Lamar's Facebook group. Talk to Chandra. Get your real estate through Lisa. This is what our guests do. Their website links are in the Facebook post. But as always, every day I ask you the same thing. Don't just visit their websites. Follow them on social media. You can learn so much from them. Reach out to them. Send them a message. And when you do, please let them know. Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.